Hands up if you own an e-commerce business or if you have an e-commerce component. Yes, I know I can't see your hands because, Leanne, this is a podcast. But I know you're out there because many of us are making money in the digital world right now because it's like totally the place to be. So for all those e-commercers, this episode is for you. I'm chatting with Louise Duggan, founder of the successful DIY cake business, Cake to the Rescue, and she has some fantastic secrets to share, as well as some insights about her past challenges and wins. I thoroughly enjoyed our interview, and I'm super keen to buy my own cake kit for my birthday later this month. So keep an eye on my socials for photos. Anyway, that's it from me for now. Let's dive into the episode. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. The show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I run a health and wellness copywriting agency while also offering content marketing training. So whether you're keen to outsource or DIY, my team at Right Time Marketing is here for you. Either way, we'll ensure your message is seen and heard by your ideal client. If you're keen to connect, feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today, I'm joined by my guest, Louise Duggan. Welcome, Lou.
Yeah, hello. So nice to be here.
It's great. And this is a long time in the making. So I think we originally spoke maybe 6 months ago. Yes. And because I'm doing these monthly themes now, we're like, okay, where can we slip that in? And we've made it work for this digital month. So I'll read out your bio so everyone knows who you are. So UK-born Queensland-based entrepreneur Lou Duggan is the founder of Cake to the Rescue, an award-winning DIY cake kit company. Gee, that's a tongue twister. That has helped more than 40,000 Australian families pour their love into a homemade cake. With a background in engineering and design, Lou has spent the last 11 years building Cake to the Rescue into a thriving e-commerce business with more than 300 cake kit designs and a loyal online audience of 60,000 plus cake fans. As a talented creative entrepreneur, Lou is a big believer in the power of vulnerability in business and loves empowering other women to ditch perfectionism. She's the mom to three gorgeous teenage girls and lives on the Gold Coast with her hubby Craig. And she confesses an addiction to human connection, homewares, and her dog, George. I have to say, an addiction to human connection is a good one to have. I'm the same. It's an extrovert, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. And especially after COVID, it's like just every beautiful bit of connection is just so good.
Yes, face-to-face, not just like virtual, right?
100%.
I love it. Now, can you tell us a little bit more about your business journey? Because I know we talked about it back when and how you've brought your engineering design background into what you do. We'd love to hear a bit more.
Sure. So Cake to the Rescue is 11 years old. I started it when my last child went to school. She was five. And at the time, I had an interior design business. Before that, I did a degree in geology and a master's in manufacturing engineering. And I find myself just at home and tearing my hair out, to be honest. My brain is far too busy. And I loved being a parent, and I was a bit of a Martha, but I really just needed something of my own. And someone from school had got in touch and said, would you like to run a business together? I actually really hated marketing at the time. I found it inauthentic. I wasn't good at asking people for anything. I wasn't good at taking anything. And I hated the idea of ripping anyone off. And that was my perception of marketing. And so when she said, I'll do all the marketing, you can do all the creative, I was like, yes. this is the perfect job for me. I get to do the bit I like, and it's e-commerce, which means I don't physically have to take people's money, because I'd spent all this time just almost working for far too little money as an interior designer, because I just can't cope with it. And so we went into this business together, and it was just so brilliant after being stuck at home to feel so empowered into this business. We did about, maybe about 6 months of just sitting in a room, nutting out ideas. And then we took it to market as an idea. We took a party kit company and a cake kit company, and we got our friends drunk, and we said, what do you think? and they all came in. They loved the cake kit thing. They're like, party thing, it's fine. We can go online. But that kit, we were drunk and they looked good. This is awesome. You should do this. And so we were like, okay, we'll rustle up this cake kit company, launch it, then launch the party company, and on we'll go. And that was kind of the kind of attitude of it. And so we developed our website and opened it in the January, and it really went well. And so we never, ever opened Party to the Rescue. But then 3 years into the business, it had a very ugly split with my business partner. It all got very, very messy. We had very different ideas about what the company needed to do to be successful. We really couldn't kind of come to an agreement on that. And I took over the company, and with it took over the marketing of the company.
Oh, no.
And so and now very much at grassroots and having to start from scratch learning something. And I would say another 3 years till I really actually knew how to market and what marketing means in a modern day life, and especially in e-commerce and an online social media life. It took me 3 more years to realize what I needed to do and who I had to be until I actually made it successful. And so that's the early years of it. And we're now being 11 years in, and it now is what I wanted it to be. And now it's about, how can I have a life and do this? How can I get as much of the work as that's being done to be automated, to be funneled, to be done? How can I get my freedom back and still have this thing that I love and do all the parts that I love? And that's so that's so where my life is now.
I love it.
I'm
so
47. So yeah, my youngest daughter is about to finish school. So at 47, I'm like, okay, I love my business. It's amazing. Now can I have some of my life and my business? And what's the flexibility, and how am I going to get that now that my children don't need me to be there every second of the day? So
yeah,
it's
go
been
through
quite
stages.
A journey.
Yeah, like that's what I say, look, I've been in my business for coming up to 8 years, but you know, I've only really been in it full time, you know, and like 4 years kind of thing when my youngest was okay to start being babysat, you know. And it just goes through different, like once my kids are both, you know, in high school, it'll be different again, and then it just, you go through these different levels as
and
life.
That's the beauty of having your own business, is that you can have this beautiful dance in and out of it. Some people say, are you in the summer of your business, the winter, the autumn, or the spring? You don't have to be on summer high pedaling at all times. As long as you've got your baseline marketing in place, you can kind of come in and out of it. I just snapped my Achilles and spent 10 weeks on the couch and managed to keep Kate to the Rescue running while I wasn't, you know, obviously I have dispatch, but just keeping it, the whole thing going, because of that baseline marketing that kind of holds it down. But then my daughter came home from uni today feeling emotional that she'd found her position in life, and I could just stop working for an hour and have that conversation with her. So it's a beautiful thing, if as long as you look for what it is that you wanted to gain in the first place and check that that's what you have.
And also obviously finding that strong need for like the target market. So I know a lot of listeners, maybe they're thinking of introducing an e-commerce aspect to their business, or maybe it's a brand new business. I know, like, yeah, when we had the chat, that you were, it's kind of based on the Women's Weekly cake book. Like, I know that's what my mom used to make cakes from for our kids. And so for me, I managed to keep doing it for the last 8 years, always make my kids cakes. Sure. So, and I'm not like, I seriously bake two cakes a year, which is for both of their birthdays. And I've played around with fondant. I'm not a big fan. Buttercream is a bit easier. But I know that that's where your engineering thing comes in. It's experience comes in, because I know from our past conversation, you were saying that you kind of think of how you create these beautiful designs that look great, look professional, but they're also so easy for the most, you know, beginner cake maker to do. And so then the mums feel proud. The kids are like loving their mums so much, or their dads, you know, and the dad gets involved too. But yeah, so you obviously really got something, because you've got, what did you say? We have 60,000.
I think that's just on the Facebook page. There's another 13,000 in the group. There's 8,000 on the Instagram. And I think there's about 16,000 on the newsletter. So it's a big community reach. It's probably 100K reach now over that time. And so, yeah, it definitely is. I would say that the funniest thing is when you set yourself a moral code for what you're going to produce or what you're going to introduce, and when you make a promise and you have to mean it, if you're going to make a promise, you need to mean it and you need to be loyal to it. When I made the promise that I want to make you look amazing, but I want it to be easy enough for you to achieve, what you forget from a marketing perspective is they're going to look at the photo and decide whether they think you can make it before they buy it. And so you've made the photo look really good and you know they can do it, but they're looking at it going, hell no, I am not going to be able to make
it. Oh yeah, that. I've seen these cakes. They're like amazing. Yeah. Like I really, so I think you said if you couldn't make it, then you didn't put online and you don't.
Not at all. And yeah. And because I'm not, I mean, once you're 11 years in and you've made 300 designs, you have developed a basic skill set. I've been making, what is that, a cake a fortnight for 11 years? But really, I still haven't learned any skills. Like, don't ask me Swiss meringue. Don't ask me how to make a flower cake for a wedding. I just know how to stick and paste. I know how to draw and I know how to make something very basic and slap it on. And I'm really good. Like our recipe cards say things like, I know you're tempted to add more milk now because that icing looks a bit thick, don't. Put your food coloring in first, now add the milk or you'll regret it. Or it'll say, let's build the face on the paper first so that you get it right before it gets covered in icing and then we'll put it on the cake.
Oh, I love and so that kind I of try voice. To That's brilliant.
Predict, yeah. I try to predict, I know what I'm thinking and I'm trying to stop them from doing it before the thing. I mean, some people just don't read the instructions at all. They just look at the photographs and they're on, you know, a bit like men with IKEA packaging. there's only so much you can do, but I try really, really hard to kind of do that. And it builds loyalty and it builds trust and it builds a sense of someone thinking, oh, she actually is thinking what I'm thinking. She's preempting what I'm thinking. There was a thing at the start where loads of people's icing was running off the thing. And I was like, why is your icing running? Oh, well, after I melted it in the microwave. And I was like, why did you melt it in the microwave? Oh, I just thought you had to. And so I thought, well, why would someone just assume that? So I went to the supermarket. I picked up the Betty Crocker backs and I picked up the White Wings. And they all say in capital letters, do not melt the butter. And I thought, they've done it before me. They've had loads of people say, well, after I melted the butter. And so now all our recipe cards say, do not melt the butter, because Betty learned that 20 years before me.
It's true. So, I'm just thinking, like, you'd think, oh, well, it's this big wad of, you know, wouldn't it be easier to mix if it was melted?
Sure.
I kind of get the rationale, and I probably have done it myself, and then I've had that runny icing.
It's really interesting to produce a product where your entire success of your business is defined by the success of that cake.
Well,
and it has a million variables. So the nurturing that is required to have a successful business and to make them come back and buy again, it's not just a case of getting them to buy it. They actually have to succeed at it, tell their friends about it, look great about it, to want to come back and bring other people with. So it's a very different thing to selling someone a dress or selling someone something else.
You're selling a DIY service. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to get that DIY right. And so they need all these little extra steps, like the reading the mind things.
Yeah.
So they, because otherwise, do you get a lot of complaints going, oh, it didn't work for me?
No, not massive numbers, maybe one or two a month. And of course, I'm a person, I just phone up. I've realized that the best thing you can ever do is just pick someone's phone number and just call them. I find that, I think maybe because we've become such great orators and we've become people who are so often live or doing videos, that I think that we have developed a way of hearing what we want to hear from text. You know, you read text based on how you're feeling on the day. You know, you text is a perception of your own emotion at the time that you receive it. Whereas if you actually are talking to someone, you can tell my tone is friendly. You can tell I'm being warm. I'm not being patronizing. I'm not being passive aggressive. I'm genuinely caring. And so there comes a moment where phone calls are required. Old-fashioned phone calls diffuse circumstance and put you back to a gen. Or I'll actually record a video and send the video, you know, like by text or something like that. There comes a moment where that's the kind of thing. But yeah, we can get a little bit of that, but mostly because we've nurtured them so heavily into our Facebook group, which I know we'll talk about later. They've kind of already received this. They've already decided they really like me. And so they feel safe. And also we try to moderate expectation. So that's not as a sneaky marketing tool. That's just one mother to another saying, if it's got a couple of crumbs in the side or one eye was slightly off, it's still bloody amazing and your kid's going to love it. So,
oh yeah, I make cakes. I'm like, oh, is it actually good? And my kid's going, yeah, I love it, Mom. And you're like, oh, I'm just being overly self-critical here.
Totally.
Yeah.
So we try to frame that, and we talk a lot about the fact that pour your love into a homemade cake. Your child doesn't see crumbs in the icing. All they see is the love and time that you gave to them because you love them. And that's all they see. That's it, period. And so starting from that viewpoint just lets you enjoy the process a little bit more. It's all about mindset with mothers. Mothers are terrified, vulnerable human beings who are feeling like the whole world is watching them and wondering if they're failing. And so marketing to mothers, dealing with mothers, the utmost respect and humility and nurturing and security is everything that's needed to make a mum feel safe in any environment. It's definitely a completely unique niche of people that you're talking.
Well, I know. I mean, that's the reason why so many of my friends who are mums just go by the cake, because like the pressure's too great. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to say, oh, yeah. Oh, it's amazing cake. Yeah, I got it from this place, rather than, yeah, nice cake, because yeah, you did a crappy job, you know. I've just gone, you know, no, hold my head high. It is, look, obviously last year didn't have any birthday parties. So it was only family members. So I didn't have to stress too much. So I kind of had a year off. But this year we're back on going, oh, it has to be a halfway decent one. I know the cake mixture, I always buy the same one. I'm like, I know that one works. I know it tastes good. It's just the design part. But talking a bit about the marketing. Let's delve more into that now.
Sure.
So you have what, newsletters, socials? What's a quick rundown of how you market your business?
Sure. Okay, so it's quite extensive. It comes from right at the start with a cold customer, right the way through to the end of the nurturing sequence. At the start, I kind of have two parts to it. So we have our amazing Facebook group, and our Facebook group is the center of all. Denise Duffdale Thomas says, all roads lead to bootcamp. All roads lead to money bootcamp. I say all roads lead to the Facebook group. And so basically everything we do at the start is getting them into that Facebook group. One of the big flaws of our company is we manufacture the product and it only has 100% markup. Now, normally any manufactured product would have 400% markup, 100 for you, 200 for the wholesaler, another 100 for the seller, and 100 for discount, so that you can sell it at 40% at the end. Now, we don't have any of that, which means our marketing budget gets pulled right down. And so a lot of word of mouth, we can't afford to nurture someone 10 times for $25 with Facebook adverts, because you lose all the profit of the company. So basically you can afford to talk to them once, and then your systems have to do the rest of the talking. I can't afford to put myself in front of them 10 times. Our product doesn't allow it. And so what happens is there's two parts to it. They either come to the Facebook group through friends, recommendations, through Facebook ads or that kind of thing. And the nurturing sequence is massive in there, because of course they just scan down the page and they see success. They see adults feeling nervous. They see imperfection. They see lots of tips. They see
can relate, can relate, good enough. Successes, wins.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, oh, and then they see what happens when something goes wrong and that there's empathy and a refund and a resolution and solutions. And these are happening at 2 in the morning.
Right? It just,
it's massive. It's like a juggernaut of a system. So basically everything else that starts leads to that. And but what we do is when you come into the Facebook group, we ask to give you your email. And that's in case the Facebook group decides to go tomorrow. So, which is also possible and horrifically scary, but possible. And so as you come in, we offer you a free gift for your email with your first kit. But also when you go to the website, you're offered immediately a free gift. And that's so that we capture people before they leave, that they arrive. They've maybe arrived by accident or just looking at one photograph. We offer them a free rolling pin or something with their first kit, and they give us their email, and that converts really, really well, beautifully, actually. And we kind of show it after about 20, 30 seconds. And then when they go, as soon as they get into that nurturing sequence, it asks them to join the Facebook group. If they buy a cake, it asks them to join the Facebook group. If they do anything, it asks them to join the Facebook group. And so that means that then from when their product arrives all the way through to the end of making it, they have this massive support network, and the likelihood of succeeding is really, really good. And so that's kind of the front end of it. And then once they've made a cake, after about 4 weeks, we ask them for a Google review, which is, of course, something that's really important because Facebook has all of our reviews that they're doing all the time because they can't wait to show people. But you're really important for your SEO to have the other end of it. And so we have a really smart system that someone taught me, which is you never go in and ask for a review, because if they're shirty with you, they'll damn well give you a review. So we go in and we say, hey, I see you made your cake a few weeks ago. How did you get on? And it has two buttons, loved it or was a bit disappointed. And by clicking on the button, it asks them for an action. So if they click on the button that says, we loved it, I'm like, amazing. We'd love you to give us a 5-star Google review. And we use the word 5-star to encourage them to give us a 5-star. Otherwise, people start with 3 and they think, oh, maybe a 4. But if you ask for a 5-star, they give you a 5-star if they love you. And if they say, I'm not happy, it opens an email and says, wow, I'm so sad to hear that you had a disappointment with your kit. Please send us a message to learn all about it so that we can get back to you with a solution. And it means that we have no negative reviews because of the way you action it. And if they show up in the group and they're unhappy, there's two parts. One, everyone in the group loves Cake to the Rescue in a kind of mafia, slightly kind of a way.
They're all get on your back. Yeah. Back you up, right?
But also people will say, oh my gosh, Lou's got the best customer service ever. I'm sure she'll be straight back to you. And we have this immediate system. So we have a really nice protective system around reviews, which is really smart. I can't remember who taught me it, but it's smart. It's a really smart idea. And then the last thing we do is we have a nurturing sequence just before they are going to buy again a year later, because of course we have the date that we sent out their kit and the birth is a year later. So at 11 months, I send a non-branded email. So the header's gone. It's obviously a subscribe list email, but the header's gone. And it says, hey, it's nearly birthday time again. What are you thinking of making this year? I'd love to give you a hand. Let me know if you're struggling, Lou. Kiss. And I can't tell you how many people think that I literally have a list of everyone's birthdays and I'm writing. And they love to receive it. And in reality, if they write back, it's me. And I am writing to them and I am ready to respond and I'm keen to help. And then another 2 weeks in, we send them a formal thing from Cake to the Rescue with our latest cake designs, our most popular designs. And then the day before last dispatch, we say, hey, don't forget, if you haven't had a chance yet, don't forget to order your cake. And obviously it's the sequence that pulls people out as they order. And so that's kind of like our giant process.
I love that. It's so thorough and you know it so well. And obviously it's working. And I do like, all bring it back to the Facebook group because, it, as you said, it speaks for itself. All the great reviews of that. I know I would appreciate that support going, look, I've just picked up this. I mean, I've just recently subscribed to like it's called the Aussie Biz Chick membership box thing.
Yeah.
And so I, they encourage you to take, opening, selfies, videos, all that kind of thing, unboxing things. And then, there's a book in it. I wanted to share like my review of the book. And so there's a Facebook group that you can do that. So same sort of thing. I get my cake, everyone, I'm a bit nervous, my first one, wish me luck. And then here it is. And you get the kudos from people who've been there and they're like, oh, that's brilliant. And oh, here's my attempt, the same one, and whatever it is. I think that's so good. So I want to ask you now about the like challenges and mistakes. So we've been over the challenge ones, we're the break, you know, the Achilles issue recently, but any like major mistakes and then how did you overcome them?
Well, one of the things you said is people who might be looking to bring an e-commerce product to the market. So there's baseline mistakes were made right at the start. One was we didn't work out the math. We were really naive and ridiculous with the math. We kind of picked a price based on what we thought people would pay, as opposed to what you would need to do in order to make it, not only to produce it now, but to produce it when there's 1,000 of them. It's one thing to create a system because I'm only sending 10 out. I remember watching a competitor of mine, she won't mind because we talk about it, the first time, and she decided that every layer, she was going to put a rainbow layer of tissue of a different color between each layer of the kit. So as you opened it, it was like a rainbow. Beautiful idea. But once you're doing 300 a week, oh my God, shoot me now. And it's like $5 worth of tissue. And it's just like, and so you, at the start, pick one, the price that you can, you need to work out a price that when you're making 200 or 300 of them, it has a sensible hourly rate or whatever that is, because it's a product. It's not a service. A service often doesn't come with a price point for hourly rate. That's the joy of service. But if you're going to e-commerce something, definitely that's the first thing. Price is everything. Also, you can work so hard for that demographic, which is what we did. So we worked really, really hard, marketed to that demographic at $30 a cake with a $7 profit. Worked really, really hard, smashed it all out, built this big market, and then realized after 2.5 years we hadn't made a penny and we couldn't make any more without getting someone else in. And now not only have you realized your entire business model is flawed, which is what broke us up, but that also you now have an entire community of people who think you're worth $30 and actually you need to sell it for $55. And now you look like a greedy human being who has a successful company. And that's what happened to us. And worse, we grew it 11 years ago when Facebook showed everything to everyone. And at the time when I had to change the price point, it was now only showing it to 30% of your people, and probably 70% of our people couldn't afford it anymore. So now is Facebook only showing it to the people who can't afford it anymore? Because I've now got this completely messed up Facebook page that doesn't even relate to my company. So that was a monster, monster flaw. And that's why really we made the Facebook group, because at that time, all the people who joined were still interested. All the people that joined were going to get a notification of every single post, and I could clean up my messaging system. But it was the worst possible thing you could do, is to get your price wrong. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. So math is the first. The second one is we got our brand wrong. We called it Cake to the Rescue with a number 2, which was ridiculous, because we now have URLs for Cake to the Rescue, Cake to the Rescue, Cakes to the Rescue, Cakes to Cake to the Rescue. And on top of that, because we said Cake to the Rescue, everybody thought we were selling a cake, not a kit. And so everyone thought we were a bakery. So now we also have DIY Cake Kit Company pointing to our website too. So I have like 6 URLs, 6 domain names to manage and to keep paying for every year because of the stupidity of the way that we named our company. So the naming of it, and then the brand originally. So this is, you can see our brand, but it's basically a really everyday mom. She looks quite cute, a little bit chubby like me. And she looks really smiley, and she's just there doing home. The original logo, because I was an interior designer, we picked a New York bakery, and it was a woman who was stick thin in stilettos, one leg kicked up the back, holding a 3-tiered masterpiece with a dinner dress on and a chef's hat.
And does it relate to any modern woman?
Whereas most of ours have got one baby chucking up over their shoulder, another one licking snot off onto their legs, and another one sitting on the bench eating the icing as they're trying to make it. And so we just totally missed it. We just totally missed it. We missed it so bad. And so branding at the start, sensible name and math were our major errors. They're the basics, right?
I know the maths thing comes in a lot, because I know a lot of people have product-based businesses and they put a lot of effort into it, and then you're like, there's only like $7 probably left in it. And I know my sister-in-law, she doesn't do it as much now, but she used to make heaps of cakes, beautiful cakes, and she'd only, mainly just for friends and family, but she'd only charge the ingredients and maybe another $10 or something. And I'm like,
she would spend
6 hours making this thing. And I'm like, why? She goes, I just love doing it. I'm like, yeah, but you need to charge what you're worth. And I just see so many business owners that are doing the same thing. Like even for, you know, obviously very different, my service, you know, for writing blogs, they're not cheap, but, you know, you've got years of experience in my writing. Plus, I now say there's two copywriters, because it's usually someone on my team and me reviewing it. So $450 for a blog is actually very, like, it's the value you're getting, because you're getting key piece of content to repurpose. And I think it's all comes down to the value. So your kit's at $55, you're saying, but you pay easily double that to go get something that you haven't made, and it hasn't had that heart and soul put into it. The kids haven't been involved in the process.
Yeah.
And it's worth so much more than $55, but at least you're covering yourself.
It's the convenience as well of having something arrive. Taking the brain work out of it, you know, just to go, oh, thank goodness, tick. I can still feel like I'm making the cake, but all of that running around like an idiot, all of that buying.
The cake shops I go to once a year for my to October kids.
And you have to buy large amounts of everything, not the exact quantity.
Yeah, and I have heaps left over because I do it once.
We send a disposable baking box. You don't have to go buy tins and all those kind of things that people do. But yeah, and the value in knowing that someone has created this thing and made it and made sure that this actually works. And so for me, it's trying to keep that product and saying this is a value add product, you know, and then looking for free value to add, which is all the videos and all the help support and the community and all those things are the value that comes with it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And you say you've got the Facebook group for that support, and you've got like, you just, yeah, exactly, value add rather than take it away from your cost.
We never discount, never, ever, ever discount, because when you have 100% markup on something and you discount, nobody's interested in the discount less than 20%. It doesn't even touch size. And that's actually 40% of your margin. I think people go 20%, but it's 40%. In reality, on your margin. And so we don't do any discount. We just do value add, like a free gift. We'll go and source gifts and buy them in bulk. And then every Father's Day gift gets this, you know, this gift. And that's a much healthier way of doing it.
How did you settle upon the 100% markup? Is that just because you're at a rate that everyone's happy to pay and you know you can't really go much higher? Or is there another reason?
We settled at 100% markup because we started at $30, which was like a 10% or 20% markup. And so each year we put it up just a little bit. Okay. And it really got to that point that when we put up the entire price by $20, so imagine we increased our prices by 80, 70%. There's a line, and then you can slowly each year add a little bit from there. That's really what it came down to. To be honest, I think the reach is a point once you add postage that it's very hard to go past someone going and buying one. And it becomes, especially when it's product that's considered as risky, like you actually have to come over your fear to buy our product. And if you're going to spend, say, $65 to $70 postage and you may stuff it, you know, you can't really give someone a product that costs $100 that they might stuff up. It's just not feasible. And so you have to create that kind of boundary around it, for sure. We've had to be very, very meticulous in the way that our business is set up. We've had to be extremely savvy about all aspects of it to make sure that that 100% is copable. But it's definitely having a manufactured product that you manufacture here that's food-based is definitely makes it very hard to scale the company on any massive level unless you kind of go into mass manufacturing and you only have 10 designs that go in every supermarket in the country or that type of thing.
Yeah, true. And yeah. So who makes up your team now? How do you run it?
Yeah. So we have on the weekends, we have, and also in the holidays, we have a team of school kids who do all the down bagging. We actually only down bag one thing on site now. So every year I invest a certain amount of money in making the company more simplified. And so all the cake mix is bagged off site, and that's none of that's done. All the icing is bought prepackaged. All of that was done by hand in those early years. And now the only thing we down bag is the fondant. So we buy fondant in large quantities and down bag it and ice and glitter and those kind of things. So we have six staff on the weekends that come in and do that. I'm about to change it after Christmas because all of those kids are grade 12 and leaving. And it was always my children's friends. And they were therefore they had this loyalty towards not wanting to let their friend's mother down. I'm just not quite prepared to bring a whole lot of teenagers in that don't know me because I'm trying to simplify it. So I'm actually moving that, and my community doesn't know it yet. And I'm nervous to say it, but I'm going to offer two jobs on weekdays for people to come and do that job working at Cake to the Rescue. So we'll have it as a weekday staff. And then I have Crystal, who works all week running dispatch, and she's basically in charge of running dispatch, and I help her when it's crazy busy, and the rest of the time I kind of do everything else. So I am the marketing and I do all of the emails, all of the design work. I load everything up to the website, and I write all the recipe cards and that type of thing. So I'm at that kind of end of it. We actually just had someone come in and start our social media for us on Instagram, and I really wanted to grow my Instagram because I'm really concerned that as my Facebook community gets older, all the younger end are in Instagram. But to be honest, we really went at it, and we worked really hard on our Instagram for 3 months, and I realized that it actually doesn't matter anymore how hard you work on your own Instagram. It's only about collaboration. And so I ended up removed that person in the last little while. It was just someone subcontracting. And for the month's wages, we just secured 29 collaborations, you know, with smaller influencers to flood the market with our products. So it was a lesson to learn. And it's a fear-based thing of worrying that we get left behind. But I feel like Instagram's already been eaten up by TikTok. And the one thing I would say is Facebook has something nothing else has, and it's why it survived. It has groups, and no one else is offering community groups.
Well, and LinkedIn's tried, and LinkedIn just hasn't done.
And not
really
for moms. LinkedIn's fine, super for, you know, for service based, but not for moms.
That's it.
And so I think what's really happened with that is I think Facebook, hopefully, because it offers communities, will just remain. And I know all the Instagram people are only on Facebook for the communities, and they don't bother with it the rest of the time. But that's fine for me. I've realized that for me to sell my soul to Instagram, which is what it kind of feels like, I've realized that I'm better to collaborate with people who've already got that, and they're making content for a living, not me trying to make content between everything else. And then in reality, Instagram has become so much about influencers and selling that everyone's moved over to TikTok. Certainly my 22-year-old daughter is on TikTok. Hell, I'm on TikTok. I'm addicted to it. And so I've let it go. My girlfriend, who is used to me talking about video and I should be doing better at video, we've come up with a thing. No, I don't like it. And so anytime I fall down that system again where I'm like, do you think I should do video? Maybe I should do more video. She's like, no, we don't like it.
Because
you panic, don't you? And you throw everything in there and you go, oh my God.
That's it.
And
you don't just trying. Do all things. Like I LinkedIn and Instagram since Google like seems to do better for me. I still put things on Facebook, but it doesn't really build traction. That's probably more, it's just a Facebook page. Do you have any tips for someone starting the, you know, that e-commerce side or starting an e-commerce business for their health and wellness? that you can provide?
One thing I would say that has been the biggest lesson for me, it was my error, but it's my big win, is understanding the power of SEO. And now it's such a statement because none of us know what it is, right? So unless like I've kind of done a bit of Kate Toon's work now, and so I know a lot more about SEO now. But at the time, you'll get your, maybe you've got an external marketing person or you've got, and they'll say, you need SEO. Here's the guy that you should do it with. It's $600 a month. You pay your $600 and you've got no clue what they're doing. And if you look at Cake, all they're doing is trying to rank me for Cake. Now that puts me against Donna Hay. That puts me against Martha Stewart. That puts me against, and it's so silly. And all this kind of thing happened. And so it's vital. SEO is so important. So Google is still 70% of my traffic. And people are like, and when they come into the Facebook group, find you on Google, find you on Google, find you on Google. And it took me 7 years to understand, okay, how will people search for my product? How are they searching for it? So you need to understand if I am looking for a health and wellness thing, how do I look for it? A lot of health and wellness comes through Facebook adverts, right? You see someone, it comes up and a lot about me through. But in the end, you tend to go on and search or write something down. And so for me, I realized that when people are looking for Cake, they're not looking in text. They're looking at images. Oh my God, I have to make a dinosaur cake? Google dinosaur cakes. And then scanning for one that looks even vaguely achievable. And hoping you don't do it with the kids so they don't see the three-tiered masterpiece and say, that one, mummy.
Yeah,
no. And so you know what I mean? And you're like,
that.
And then it dawned on me that I actually have to rank for every single product.
Oh, yes.
Because no one is searching boys' birthday cakes. They're searching dinosaur cake, fire engine cake, transport party. Under the sea, what cakes that are great for a beach party, ideas for a superhero party cake. They're searching for a specific thing. And so what I realized was, is my product SEO and all my key terms within an actual product was what was going to fix it. And so I actually took the cake. Kate Toon has this amazing product page layout suggested SEO. I actually paid someone to put them all in for me, to do all who had some training on it, and to reword the biggest thing. All your images need to be worded, stacked with keywords. Because if someone's searching for images, my image will say dinosaur cake kit, easy, DIY, cute, recipe, birthday idea, simple, those kind of words. And the same with the meta tags and all those kind of things, everything stacked in. Wow. That actually it's that matters. It does matter, the blogs and putting it on Pinterest and pulling things through, but you need to understand how people are going to search for you, because you could throw away so much money on something that people are never doing. I don't rank for cake. I still don't rank for cake. I do rank for DIY cake kit. I have the first 12 for DIY cake kit. I can rank for that. And I'm fighting with my competitor to keep the number one spot for that all the time. But they are searching for a dinosaur cake. And now, ever since we did that, all of our cakes show up in maybe the first 10 or 12 images. And they're the only one that's easy, because Google's full of really difficult images. And people go, what's that one? And then underneath it says cake kit. And they're like,
DIY.
No.
Like, oh my what? Gosh.
And
they good.
Press on it. They're like, oh my gosh, because they don't know we exist, because we're not a product that exists
yeah.
that much.
Because no one would think search for DIY yeah. cake kit. They're just, yeah, mm-mm. like cake ideas and I'll have a crack, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's your number one thing. You need to work out what it is that people are going to search for, because SEO will be massive on it, especially with images. And the other thing I'd say is, I know you have to discover their pain point. That's the key of marketing. What is their pain point? But just as important, and it's what happened and what turned us around, is what is their barrier to sale? Barrier to sale is just as important, because you can hit their pain point. But if they still have a barrier to sale, which in our case is looking like an idiot, you know, scared of stuffing up, scared they're not good enough, scared that their friends will think they're a loser, scared that they disappoint their child. Fear is the boundary of Kate to the Rescue. And that's why community became so important. It wasn't until we created a community and we lowered improved their way they felt about themselves and created other people with the same vulnerabilities and placed them all together and made them heroes in front of each other. That is when Kate to the Rescue became successful. So yes, your pain point, but find your barrier and find it. And you're not going to know it straight away. You're going to have to ask, but you need to find it way quicker than I did. Way quicker. We took 6 years to find that barrier.
Well, actually, something for me, for example, I do my briefings for whatever copy via Zoom, and I ask some questions and I record it, get a transcript, and then you literally use their words. Mm. And I realized that a barrier often was, oh, but I know it. You're never going to write it as well as, you know, I could write it because I'm my business all the time. So this was a way to get over that barrier by saying, we literally use your words to write it and make it sound good. And since that's really taken off, and of course, you know, they'll get it. Oh, actually, I want to add something else, and here's some more stats. Great. But the essence is there because it's very hard to ghostwrite and without being mind readers. We're trying to be, but we're not. So that's, you know, and I can say, you know, you've got, this is the process. Like, you're dealing with a person, I'm not afraid to chat with you. It's not just going to be emails and all that kind of thing. We could talk about this forever because I love it. And my birthday is in July. So I am ordering a cake kit to play around, even though I make it myself, that's fine. As practice, my kid's birthday is in October. Then I'll maybe start doing my husband's in March and I'll whatever.
So you need to get in the group so I can market to your fear.
Yes, I know. I know I'll be okay because I have attempted some, you know, just from looking at images. So having instructions would just be like amazing. Now, I always ask my guests this, and that is, how do you look after your health and wellness?
Oh, you know, you feel like you should give like a really fabulous answer, you know, that I limit my behaviors and I do this. So within our community, they all answer questions for each other. So I really am not glued to my Facebook page in the way you'd imagine. But to be honest, e-commerce is lonely. Service-based business can be lonely, especially if all of your stuff is online. It can be trapped in the house. You have no boundary between when work ends and life starts because you don't go to a job and come home and leave your computer at work. You might make dinner and then sit down and check the emails again. And so getting outside, believe it or not, going out and walking around. I'm lucky I live on acreage, so it's kind of all greeny around me. But I call it a spa for the mind. Literally, I feel like when I'm walking, it's as if all the pressure has come off my head and just pulled out into the world. And I used to listen to podcasts the entire time. And then I realized that all I'm doing is working outside with the sun on me. And so now I don't allow anything. I literally walk with free brain. And that might go to work, but it's just a moment where you've let down your phone. You're not learning. Otherwise, I was just learning 24/7. So being outside without anything and going for a walk is literally the most calming, grounding thing I would say that I can do. That's the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. Sometimes I go for a walk or a run without the music, go for a drive without anything on the radio or music, because just to, unless it's more stuff going into your head, right? And sometimes you just need that break. I need to just be alone with my thoughts, which I'll try and clear. And
and can I tell you that when you're alone with your thoughts, even though we're supposed to be resting, the most creative things you will ever think of for your business will come in moments of complete quiet.
Yeah.
Complete quiet is the requirement of creativity. You cannot be creative without mental headspace. And so being away from your business, allowing your brain to wander, is the definition of creativity. So you, even if you feel like you're cheating, I promise you, you will get great ideas while you're off.
Good point. And how can people connect with you?
So for Kate to the Rescue, Kate to the number two, the rescue, you can head on all social media. Just check up DIY Kate Kits will turn up. If you want to come spy on me and see how I do things, then you could sign up for our newsletter. join our Facebook group and just go in there and go, ah, this is how she does it. You know, just live in there for a little while. Buy a cake while you're there, you know, as a repayment for services. But go spy on me in the group. So just type, you can either go to Kate's Rescue and it'll say join the group, or it's called the Kate's Rescue Support Group. If you want to connect with me directly, if you want to collaborate with me or work with me or have me come and chat somewhere, then go to loudubbin.com and there's media kits and all that in there.
Awesome. Thank you. This has been great. Really interesting to hear about the world of, you know, e-commerce, because I haven't delved into that. And I'm sure our listeners love that info. So thank you so much, Lou. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes to the episode at marketingandme.com.au. And if you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating or review via Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice. And grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials to get the message out there. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of this show. You can also find me on Instagram under LeanneShelton247 or book in a free 15-minute chat. Because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.